Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a good Tuesday.
Yes, hope everybody is. So, well, it's just us again this time, Cindy. So we're
which is always fun.
It's always fun.
I always enjoy the banter about coaching. And today we'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, if we have some listeners out there. I mean, maybe this would be good for our fellow coaches as well, but if we have some listeners out there that maybe are on the fence thinking about coaching, not sure what coaching might be like for them, this will be the show for you. Bruce and I are going to sort of tiptoe you into what the conversation before your first session may be like, you know, that coaching conversation, or some people call that that consultation, and move you into what the first session might feel like, sound like. Bruce, you can speak to this as well. I mean, a lot of times you call your we call them sessions, packages. You know, a lot of times coaching is booked in, you know, 6, 10, 12, 24 weekly session packages and priced accordingly. Sometimes they're called engagements, 3 month, 6 month engagements. So if you're out there listening and you're wondering how coaching is typically handled and priced, most of the time it's would be an hour session, but sometimes it's a half hour session. Bruce, sometimes half day, full day, commonly though an hour. Would you agree with that, Bruce?
Yeah, at least
could expect that.
Yeah, I would, at least on my end, you know, at least an hour, you know, meeting to look at, you know, goals and what, you know, what some of the issues are, and then also develop some kind of a timeline commitment. I know I've always said that a minimum of 3 months is just kind of what I need from a client to, you know, to I think really get some traction and get meaning, the best meaning out of the coaching experience. And again, I don't do any didactic classes or anything like that. It is just pretty much the traditional coaching experience. So,
yeah, I have to agree with you that it's really tough. And I guess I think what Bruce is saying, it's important for our listeners to understand. It's not that you can't say you've worked with a coach in the past and something's going on and you need some direction right here, right now, and you want to schedule a session, you know, a recap session or just a new news kind of a session. But typically when you engage with a coach for the first time, you'll have a conversation, maybe you have more than conversation, to set up the expectations and the business side of coaching. And typically, very difficult to get a lot accomplished in one or two sessions. So imagine you're coming and you have a business plan, or you have a situation in your personal life or something you're really trying to accomplish, a dream, a new vision in your life. Imagine trying to do that in 2 hours. I mean, it's really not possible. So the 3 month engagement, which is what Bruce is talking about, that minimum is enough time to get, I think, you know, I feel the same way as you do, Bruce. It's enough time to get somebody moving forward and accomplishing and checking things off their to-do list and feeling positive about the movement that they have in their life and what they're accomplishing, what they set out to do. So sometimes it's longer. Sometimes I have clients who, by 3 months, they're really feeling really good about where they're at and their aha moments and what they've set out to do and put into place. And it's just a very rewarding experience. Some people move quicker than others. Do you find that as well, Bruce? Everybody's an individual. We meet our clients where they're at. So some people need more time.
Yeah, I mean, some right. Everybody is a little bit different. Some people need more time, but I think it's, you know, so important that, you know, you identify the goals, pick one, and then really identify a couple of good solid steps to chew on. For instance, I've just kind of kicked up two or three guys, new clients recently, and really interesting, these two kind of came in, hey, I'm really not feeling much joy. I'm not feeling much joy in my life. And I know we had a coach on here 3 weeks ago that talked about thriving.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
And,
yeah.
And I know, right? I'm like, oh my God, where is she now? Why can I have her brain in me? But that said, though, I really started on some things, some exercises and some things to read and exercises for them to kind of start identifying, you know, A, what gives them joy, and B, what is lacking, you know, what do they wish, you know. I had one guy come in soon, he's like, hey, I've built my dream home, and I can't enjoy it for whatever reasons.
Wow.
And
that's a shame.
And so identifying the blocks, the blocks to that, and some of these C-suite fellows will get in a situation where the market changes or something, and
unforeseen is always
right. And then the company will say, hey, you used to be in this role, now you're going to try this role. And man, some of these guys are in their early mid-50s, right? And they're like going, excuse me, you know. And so I've had two cases where it was almost like a midlife crisis of sorts, not in the traditional red Corvette stripper way, but in the way that,
right.
You know, the person's having to retool some major components of their work life, and their identity has kind of been disrupted, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I get it. Yeah,
they're being forced to be humble again, and they're being forced to be a learner again, and mm-hmm. and they're not feeling very self-efficacy isn't there because they're again in this kind of learning position,
that's a tough place to be, and you know that happens to C-suite executives, it happens to executives, high-level executives, middle management, entrepreneurs, people in business for themselves, people jumping from the corporate world into business for themselves. That learning curve, that's an interesting subject matter, Bruce, because I think change is difficult. There's a period of time, whether it's a new job, a new position, a new company, there is a period of, you know, maybe excitement and passion, maybe fear and lack of confidence, but certainly there's a period of adjustment to any major professional cycle, I guess is a good way to put it. And learning new skills, if you are older, and maybe even younger, can be difficult if the expectation is to learn new skills in an area that's maybe not your strong suit. So a lot of professionals will struggle with that and need some support and coaching along the way. That's interesting because I hear that a lot too. People want to accomplish something or change positions or start a company or wherever they're at, and they don't particularly have that skill set. So either you're going to have somebody tutor you to gain that skill set or hire somebody to support you. But it is a period of unrest. I would call it a period of unrest for people, how you're going to traverse that. You know, like, what are you going to do to get on the other side of that?
Exactly. Hey, and it's just one thing at a time, you know, breaking it into some component parts with the hopes that it will get us closer to where we need to be, from where we are right now. And, you know,
the one thing at a time is, you know, I got to say, for men, this is a generality, but I would say, a little easier for men to be linear and tackle one project, one skill, one new thing at a time. Sometimes women, are more jump from project to project, more multitask, I guess is the way to say it. And so that's a different paradigm, a different way to approach a new learning curve. But certainly both Bruce and I do business coaching, and certainly this comes up over and over and over again, and can be a reason that maybe somebody seeks a coach, or it's just one of the things or obstacles, issues, concerns that may come up. So, you know, as a coach, you know, somebody has conversations, they've made a decision to hire you as the coach. You have your first session, you're getting to know your client, you're asking questions to get them to sort of empty out, and you're mirroring back. And one of the questions that may pop up is, you know, what are you struggling with? What are your challenges? What are your concerns? And this may be very well be something that they're going through on the professional front, or you can translate that to the professional, the personal side of life as well. And people will talk to you about that. It's amazing what can come up in a coaching session that even the client didn't intend, you know.
An example of that? What can you share? What would be, give an example of that?
Of what your concern might be, or what
some unintended thing that came up as a result.
Well, I mean, if you're speaking just in the area of what you're talking about in terms of new discoveries, you know, I do business startup coaching. So, you know, what may come up is somebody's fear of the business side. They may be a creative. They may work really well with people. They may have a fabulous business concept, but they are, they don't have the business experience. So, you know, maybe they'll hit a wall of fear in terms of, I don't have the business acumen to get the back office, the admin, the operation side, maybe the IT side done. So you sort of hit that wall of really fear, and you have to break it apart. What can they do? What tasks can they accomplish? Maybe they have to offload and hire somebody to support them on the others. And then sometimes when it comes to a struggle, a concern, is somebody just really, really coming out with, I would really be a lot further along if I would just accept this. You know what I mean? Like, really accept and be more accountable to the stuff that I don't like to do. So I find that happens a lot in coaching, is somebody will finally hit the wall and then they'll say, I'm not moving forward because I'm not willing to get better at the things I'm not good at. And that's a breakthrough for people. When you want something bad enough and you've hired a coach to get you there, at some point, you're going to have to come to terms with the stuff you've been avoiding, the stuff that you readily admit you're no good at, but aren't willing to get better at. That comes up, and that's a struggle for people. So when you ask the question, what are you struggling with? You know, or you know, maybe you're saying, what are you really good at? You know, what do you love doing? You know, because you can get at those kind of the strengths and weaknesses, and sometimes the weakness or the thing somebody's not good at, they keep shoving to the side professionally until it comes up and bites them right in the ass. You know what I mean? And they have to confront it, how they're going to deal with it in order to be successful and achieve their goals and, you know, make their dream happen or their vision happen. I don't know if you've come up against that, but I do with people, because nobody's good at everything, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto that. I mean, nobody's good at everything, and that's pretty powerful stuff. I mean, think about that. You know, that the person has run up against something that they're unwilling to change. You know, that is pretty interesting. You know,
well, it can hold people back. That's the one thing you're not good at, right? Mm-hmm. That can hold you back from the success of something you really want. So people have to come to terms with that, the one thing they're avoiding. And, you know, it can become such an avoidance that it becomes almost like an irrational fear. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine somebody who has a learning disability, but they've never revealed it. So they've found workarounds to it their entire life or, professional career. But there's a point where they need a skill set and it has to come out. You know what I mean? Like, they have to come to terms with it, get, you know, the support they need to learn it in a different way and in a more direct way. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, is You know, when you have a client who trusts you and you're working with them, those are the discoveries that will come forward. Is this is a problem, and I haven't been dealing with it for a really long time, and these are the reasons, you know, and you called it a block. I mean, it could be the thing that's blocking you from really making it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
So those are some of the things I see that when people hit that wall, and when they come when they trust you enough to tell you, and then you work with them to find ways to solve it and push through it, that can be pretty rewarding for your clients.
Yes, it can be, and it is, just to see, you know, after a while, just to see the relief, you know, get
it's
some
relief.
Changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, another case that I'm trying to bring you on in on, Cindy, a gentleman out near where you live, that we were able to, I was able to, you know, through the coaching process, kind of alleviate some things. But then I noticed there'd be some behavioral things that remained. And it was really interesting because it's about this person's values, morals, and beliefs. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is still happening. Why do you think that is? And it's like, well, because this and this happened. And just like you said, I think this person is not willing to let go, I think he is now, but he's going to have to make some changes about his worldview on a couple of things. Because mm-hmm.
Well, you know, people hang on tight.
Yeah, don't man.
I mean, people hang on tight to their past experiences, their assumptions, their values. I mean, sometimes we hang on to things, whether it's a belief, a habit, or avoidance of something way beyond it serving us, way, way, way beyond. And I think those are powerful moments in coaching when somebody trusts enough to get vulnerable to cop to something. You know what I mean? It's like, shit. I've been putting this off for so long, and it's the one thing that if I would just learn or do or get some help with, I could push through and get what I want on the job, in my business, in my personal life. You know, we're stubborn people. We're stubborn. You know what I mean?
Man.
People, don't you think?
Yeah. And in my case, it's not with the guys I'm working with, it's not necessarily get what I want, is get the pain to stop, get the negative consequences to cease, to get mm-hmm. the boss off my back, to get this gun out of my
right.
Get the double barrels out, shotgun pointed away from me. And so, yeah, there is that kind of
to just get the pressure off.
Yeah, and it's, you know, in my business, you know, it's more right, the elimination of negatives versus the gaining of positives, at least at first, you know. Sure, there's positives on the backside of that. Make no mistake about it. You change your worldview. You change your behaviors. You change your feelings. You're going to have
to respond
differently.
Give up your bad habits.
Yeah. People are going to respond differently and kumbaya and, you know, what, you know, you got this, you got that. However, you know, it all started with managing, you know, some of that Johari window stuff with, hey, this is what others see you as that you don't necessarily see, that kind of blind spot, right?
Right,
And there we go. Once mm-hmm. you get that person, now always get that person to buy off on that concept of the blind spot, and they usually do, and like, okay, what's in there? And here, and then we can start filling it up with data points, and how, you know, what can we do to address that? And it really just, it makes a lot of sense for the guys. You know, I mean, anybody who's married has that issue. But anyway, we're in a relationship, right? You know, it seems my partner sees that I don't want to see, or I don't see in myself, and here we go. And that carries forward into the workplace or other other relationships. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, you know, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You know, I was thinking, like, some of this stuff that we're referring to right now is a process that can happen pretty quickly in the coaching work, is people coming up against what we would call professionally blocks, the things that are holding you back from moving forward, whether it's a belief pattern, a false belief, a habit, a pattern, things that, like Bruce, you referred to as the blind spots. Maybe you're aware of it. And interestingly enough, sometimes people aren't, right, Bruce? They're not even, it comes up during a session, the clarity, the aha moment, the coach is asking questions, letting you process and go inside and drill down and really have to kind of think about it, I guess, is the simplest way to say it. And sometimes those aha moments can come where you see it. You finally see something you're not willing to look at. You're not willing to change. You know, those things can be very powerful in coaching because once you see it, you know what I mean? You can start working with it.
Right. Once, yeah, they can see it and it becomes more tangible to them, then they can, right, to begin that process, begin that journey of working through it. And that's why we do the 360 evaluation, right? That's why we get data points from loved ones, bosses, supervisors, subordinates, other people in the office, friends, whoever we can get our hands on to get those data points. And that's always been highly instructive for me, is that 360 evaluation. I always think that's even more important than a Hogan or a Myers-Briggs or some sort of a test.
Strength finders.
Yeah, as well as in strength finders. Yeah, I mean, seeing what these other people see and experience is so important and so meaningful. And those are such robust data points to go off of, you know, moving forward with things. So at least for me, I have found that for me. I mean, trained as a clinical psychologist, hey, we're all about data. We're all about internal and external validity and all this and that. But man, as I've gotten older, man, screw that. You know, I'm really more into that kind of live, nearly live testimony from a kind of a consensus rating, if you will, you know, that I would compile from the observations of others and then moving forward and plugging that in. So anyway, I mean, testing's helpful too. Don't get me wrong, folks, but wow, if you can get your hands on some other interpersonal data, that's always really cool.
I think that's really beneficial. You know, just, you know, individually, personally, or professionally, you know, sometimes I think we have to urge people or coach people, I find, and it's helpful for me personally too, to have the tough conversation. To you know, part of coaching is people will bring up some of their relationship issues, whether it's in the workplace or you know in the home or social relationships that maybe they're struggling with or have difficulties with, and a lot of times, what it boils down to is that lack of just picking up the phone or having that meeting and having clear communication with somebody, and can be very, you know, what you're talking about is, you know, you as a coach sitting down with the people that are involved with the person you're actually coaching. What I'm talking about is when an individual has a workplace issue or a relationship issue or something that they're just not confronting. And so as coaches, we encourage people to have that direct communication, clear the air, clear the table, reset, instead of blowing up, quitting the job, leaving the relationship, right? You know, there are different ways to handle things. And so sometimes getting feedback and, you know, the two heads are better than one approach in a coaching session can, a client can spell out some options that may be more beneficial and more productive in the end and get them what they want.
Right, right. And that's just get them what they want, not what I want or necessarily what others want, but get them what they want. And there's the kind of a crux of coaching methodology, coaching doctrine, and positive psychology, right?
Right.
Helping them get what they want. And
which may not be fired. You know, maybe they don't, you know, maybe they're solution to a problem is going to get them fired. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting you should say that, Cindy. So I've had two people recently decide to exit their employment and go on to other employment, even though I was hired by the employer to hopefully get them to stay. They decided to leave. And so I've been really learning a lot from these executives on, you know, what factors weighed on the decision. And, mm-hmm. and again, a lot of the guys I worked with have been in their present company 15 plus years. And for them to exit at the three quarter mark if you will, very, very, very interesting. And so
that's an interesting process, you know, of uncovering what the real reasons are.
Yeah, because then the coaching paradigm changes, like, oh, they're leaving now. Okay, so now it's kind of transition coaching or it's exit coaching, and we want this person to exit the business in a good light. So when they leave the company, they don't have too much ill will for the company, and use the company's other, you know, other aspects as a possible client moving forward. So that's, yeah, it's always interesting. And if it's a more of a hostile departure, I shouldn't say hostile, that's a bad word, but, you know, we want to make sure.
Disgruntled.
Yeah, thank you. Disgruntled.
A little softer.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. It's old Justice Department. Hostile. there's no lawsuits or, you know, everything kind of comes out. And it's really interesting, Cindy, because some guys, when they decide to leave, and I'll say guys and gals, you know, thank you, they'll get a package, or some don't get a package, you know, or some will go into an earlier retirement, which is a different type of an exit. So I've learned all these different exits.
There's a lot of different exit strategies,
yeah, exit,
right?
Exit with a package, exit on your own, and then kind of a, I want to say, you know, kind of a retirement before you had to take it retirement. So I've walked through several of those. So anyway.
And I think the point, like I'm seeing when I'm listening to you, Bruce, is that having a coach to walk through those changes, those decisions, the strategy to leaving a company and for whatever reason, retirement, transitioning to another company, maybe your own business. Those are big decisions, and really having counsel and a coach would be very, very good timing, very helpful. I'm sure a lot of, you know, I was reading an article, I think it was yesterday, on the whole, you know, people who have personal crisis or maybe health issues in their family. And, you know, some employers are very sympathetic and will give, you know, time off and support you through that. And some are not, you know, depending on the situation. And that whole value of, you know, when you're talking about it, somebody making a decision to leave a company, you know, sometimes it's not just business. Sometimes there are personal reasons that people make decisions to exit. And coaching somebody through that can be very, very rewarding, you know. Lots of personal stuff comes up in business coaching. And even if somebody's there for personal, you know, coaching, their business can come up as well. So, you know, we can't always just separate the two. Sometimes they're pretty integrated in our lives.
And for me, and this is kind of a rare position, but I've been kind of disappointed. I had a coach client that I really wanted the person to stay, and I really saw them having a good, solid finish. And this was, oh man, I was in my head, Cindy. I just had their life planned out. I never said it. Oh, thank God, I never said it.
Right. You held back. Good
held
job.
Back. Oh, good Lord. Thank you that I
did
that.
That's called self-checking,
but,
right?
So but this guy ends up leaving, and man, he's actually going to be in a far better place than had he possibly stayed. So,
listening to his own instincts, you know?
Yeah, he was, right. And honoring that and being true to himself. And you know, there were some things in his environment. It's kind of like a chess game for some of these guys, Cindy. Like, you'll look around, let's say, you know, you're the king, and then you see, oh, there's the queen, and that's going to get me. There's a bishop, that's going to get me, and here's a knight or whatever.
Right.
You know? And you're like, man, I'm in check. I better get off this game board, man. And I know for some of these guys, it felt like that, you know, because everywhere they turned, it was a blind alley or something else. And
sometimes if it's not working, it's not working. It's time to, you know, open a new door. You know, like
absolutely, you
know, we do get pushed up against the wall sometimes, where we have to make a decision which way we're going to go. Those are exciting times in your life, right? Those are the times when having somebody walking alongside you can be very, very helpful as you you know, plot your way, because it's difficult. You can know intuitively, you can know what you really should do, but, you know, a lot of times it's laced with some fear and apprehension and second guessing, mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. sorting that out with a coach is really helpful. These are some of the things we're talking about today that come up in coaching. There's lots of reasons that people may feel they have a need to sit down with a coach. And what I find, and I know, Bruce, we've talked about this in the past, what may actually end up coming out of even a engagement or an individual session may be quite different than even the client expected. So the sessions do have a way to sort of take on a life of their own, right? Mm-hmm. They go where they go.
Yes, and that's what trusting
that's
the
magic.
Process.
That's the magic, I think.
The magic, there you go. Mm-hmm. The magic.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you can come in.
Magic.
You may be listening to us today and you may be saying, you know what, I think I really need some coaching along this line. And you get in there and you find out, because the coach asks powerful questions, that that's not even what the deal really is. It underneath it is some major thing that you just really have shoved down so deep, it hasn't even had a chance to surface yet. Or your solution is buried and it comes up. And it's quite exhilarating as a coach to watch people go, oh my gosh, you know, this is what I need to be thinking about. This is really what I need to be working on or prioritizing in my life. It's really fun to engage with clients and see them make, you know, those big discoveries and reshift or reprioritize in different areas of their life. So it's, you just never know what's going to happen and what's going to come out of it. But it, you know, it's all about, you know, us as coaches making people feel comfortable, trusting,
right.
And being vulnerable, and sort of that trusting process that happens where you can really be real and know that the coach has your back and is with you as you are, you know, making strides to make changes or move forward or reevaluate whatever you have going on.
Boy, some key points there. One is, one, the coach has your back, and two, the coach is with you, and being present, being very, very present and centered with your client is, you know, win, lose, or draw, is very, very important. And then also that they felt supported, you know, and so when every case that I finish, I'll say, yeah, whether it's a success, you know, regular coaching contract or one of these that turned into a termination or the person leaving, boy, they do an exit interview and they're like, hey, you know, how was Bruce's performance? What'd you like? What you didn't like? And I am learning, right? That, which is good, right? Because I do stuff that's mediated through a very large company, right? I have, there's accountability. There's people watching and they're the stakeholder. It's not like I'm, you know, just a private practitioner and making assumptions that I was good anyway, but the long story short, I know I do that a lot. But you know,
don't we all, right? Asking the questions, right?
Bless
the feedback.
Honesty. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. You good? Yeah, do I look good? I'm good. Okay. no, but seriously, you know, but Dave, hey, I felt that Bruce was there. He was always supportive. He was always there, you know, and he was always supportive. Even when I've challenged people, I would say, hey, you know, can I pull a Cindy. Like, hey, do you mind if I tell you what's going through my mind? I forget, what's your line? What do you use? You use it so well. Hey, do you mind if I...
Yeah, I know. I ask permission.
Yeah,
I'm getting this
it.
Impression. I'm getting an impression. Do you mind if I share it with you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So smooth. I got to work on my delivery. I'm getting an impression. I always feel like I'm a mystic if I say something like that, and I should be wearing a turban or
Well, or sometimes it feels really important to share something.
Impression.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting an impression.
Sometimes they don't want to hear what you got to say. You know.
No, but I like the fact that you ask. Yeah.
Yeah, then why not ask, right?
And then it almost, for them to say, no, I don't want to know what's in your mind, Cindy. Screw you. I mean, really, like, that's a little bit of a block in the coaching.
Yeah, yeah. I want no impression, no intuitive feeling.
I don't want any feedback right now. Thank you. This is about me.
Mostly
anyway.
They really don't. Most of the time, people are so thrilled to be able to have center stage and be heard and talk and be listened to and know that somebody's tracking them and you know, mirroring back what they're saying and really with them. I think clients really love that. But sometimes they do want the impression it's not the coaching model to give advice. You know, we're not consultants, but sometimes depending on the type of coaching we do have to, you know, cross the lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's better to understand than to be understood. And so, you know, and when I'm in that, and when I'm in the coaching role, right, I'm there to understand. I'm not doing a lot of output, or try not to do output that I'm understood. You know, I need to understand them, really kind of center around my client, and go from there. I learned that every week. It's like, ooh, okay, you know, it seems when I practice that and really listen and really center in on them, the process goes better. It goes faster. And they really take ownership. You know, you want your clients to take ownership of what's going on, obviously.
Absolutely. When you said it goes faster, do you mean it just smoothly gets to where it needs to go?
Smoother, yeah. Like this is amazing. I'm going to say this. As a coach, I'll get in the way. Maybe.
Well, that's because you're Bruce.
If I don't practice,
because you're Bruce and I'm Cindy, we're gonna get in the way, right? Trying to stay out of the way. I think that's really so. For our listeners out there, whether you're a coach, whether you're the client seeking a coach or have a coach, it is important. There, it's a skill set, but coaches do get caught up in the moment and are human beings, and we don't always do it perfectly, right? So,
exactly.
Learning and getting better at your trade and getting feedback. And I think that, you know, maybe it's time for us to talk a little bit, like we shared earlier, about, you know, some of the pitfalls. So, if you're seeking a coach, what you should be getting is somebody who is allowing you to open up and share, somebody who is empathetically with you, somebody who is asking questions for you to dig deeper and get at the real meaning of things for you. Those are some of the things. What would come to your mind, Bruce, in terms of the right, you know, what they should be expecting if it's done, you know, in a better way? Let's say in a better way, not right way.
One of the things is,
right or wrong.
You said the word trade, right? And I'm going to, I want to go back a little bit, you're working on your trade as a coach, right? Well, you know, I know, and I know you know this too, because you train so many people. I see this as a trade. I see this as almost like a craft that I continue to learn. But I'm going to tell you, Cindy, and you got to watch out for these people. They think that they're anointed. This is a gift. I've been given the gift of coaching. Like,
I don't know
God,
so much.
God
that
made me.
Yeah.
And I am God's gift. I am in God's image. And therefore, no, but you know what I mean?
If you're right. They feel like it's a natural tendency or an inclination, or, you know, some people are better at it than others and that sort of thing. Yeah,
I have been anointed with a special ability to coach. Therefore, anything that comes from me, right, I'm teasing.
It is a skill that people go to get trained.
It is a skill.
And,
exactly.
You know, people spend a lot of money to get trained to do this and to develop this skill set. Right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I believe with anything we should develop over time, we should. That doesn't necessarily mean every single session we're at our best or we're doing it 100% optimally. But, you know, if you're a coach or if you're a client wondering what a good coach is going to check themselves. You know, they're going to know if they're falling into giving advice or being your friend or talking too much or, you know, checking because, you know, or interrupting too much or I'm trying to, you know, some of the things that naturally we have a tendency to do in a conversation, but a coaching conversation is different. It's where the coach is asking questions and you are opening up and answering and finding discovery, important discovery through that process.
Exactly.
It's important. Never done perfectly, right? Which can make it charming. That's why every session is, you know, uniquely its own and it goes where it goes. But really, the coach is following where the client's going.
Right.
You know, sometimes we can have preconceived expectations after working with clients for a while that they're on this and now they're going to complete this. And, you know, so we're, you know, developing our questioning around that and, you know, because that's what they're currently working on. But, you know, I've had clients totally surprise me and do, you know, just make a decision to stop doing this or that. And, you know, it really is, or to completely halt for a while because they have some personal problems coming up that are insurmountable for them. And they have to shelf something in order to focus on that. And I'm totally okay with that as a coach. I am totally supportive in somebody having to make a tough decision to shelf a project because something more important is going on in their life.
Yes.
We don't whip people into doing things, right? That's not the point of coaching, right? I think we do put their feet to the fire. There's an accountability factor that happens with a coaching. And so you should expect a coach to hold you accountable. And I call that, you know, putting your tootsies up to the fire. We want people to accomplish their goals and we want them to get what they want out of life. That's the whole point. We love to see people be successful in anything, in any area of their life. So we definitely want to encourage that, but it's not like in a demanding way.
Right. Not in a demanding way. So in a diplomatic way or, you know, having them embrace and endorse and have the lead.
Have the lead is important.
Yes, yes.
Let me ask you something, Bruce, as we tip into another area we wanted to discuss, which is kind of fun. You know, it'll go where it goes, just like the radio show. You know, this is a very conversational radio show. We don't have a really tight, firm structure because we like it flowing loosely, like sometimes coaching session. No, I mean, it's our intention mm-hmm. with the show. So let me ask you a question. Like, what's some of your favorite questions? Are your more impactful questions that really get people thinking and processing?
What is the evidence for that?
Ooh, that's a good one. Now, let me ask you, what do you mean by that, Bruce? Because we're on a show. Like, if you were to ask...
What do you mean by that? That's a good one, Sydney. What do you mean by that, ladies and gentlemen? Just kidding.
I love that. Okay, so if you're asking me that... Because we're on a show, we're not in the session. What would you be getting at?
You're right. Okay. Somebody will say, "Oh, I'm a failure, or I haven't achieved, or you know, I some sort of negative Debbie Downer thought mm-hmm. or attribute," and they're applying that to themselves. And then I'll just kind of say, "Well, what's the evidence?" You know, just kind of calmly. Well, okay. Well, what's the evidence for that? No big deal, right? Just, well, you know, just list out the bullet points. What's the evidence for that? And then then watch. Oh yeah, and then watch them go up, see if they start rattling stuff off, or they just kind of stall for a minute and have to look around and think, and you know. So yeah, that's that is one of my favorites.
I like that.
What's the evidence for that?
Anything else? I like that because that's a useful question for somebody that is very negative based.
And I hope I'm not stealing your thunder. You know, how would you like to spend the hour? How would you like to spend the day? You know.
Of those questions are always good in the beginning. You know, like, what do you most want to get out of this session today?
Mm-hmm.
You
know, I think those are powerful questions, though.
Yeah, those are good. I think it's good because it shows the client you're concerned with what's important to them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're like, okay, let's go through the rundown. How's your job? How's your wife? How's your health?
Right.
Hey, you know, let's do the check-in like it's Weight Watchers or Curves or A or not AA, but anyway, but yeah, kind of do the rundown and
take your temperature really kind of stuff.
Yeah, person doesn't really have ownership in the rundown; they're just doing the Jiffy Lube 20-point inspection. So yeah.
And you know what? I think that's a really good point that you're trying to make, Bruce, because that taking your temperature thing, you know, obviously coaching is, you know, a polite etiquette, you know, like, how was your week? Tell me more about your week kind of a thing. But, you know, coaching isn't so much about taking your temperature about where you're at. You know what I mean? Like all the time, you know, that's one of the, you know how I I feel like sometimes people take their temperature too much. How am I feeling? How am I feeling? How am I feeling? You know, I'm not so sure that that's always what coaching is about when you really get into a coaching engagement, that you are trying to plot your course forward. Some of that could get in the way if there's too much of that. Correct. That's my opinion.
Correct. I agree. I agree. So what are some other questions that you think are dandy, Cindy?
Well, I mean, my favorites are always, what do you want? But not just that one, but what do you really, really, really want? Because people will often tell you something, and it's not even what they really want. So that's getting underneath it,
being
a couple layers underneath. Because people, they got to tap into it a little bit deeper for me, because you can just say, well, I want to do this. And then it's like, you see the look on their face, you hear the tone of their voice, and you're just not feeling it. So it's that, tell me a little bit more about that. And what do you really, really want? And they kind of look at you weird or scratch their head, but sometimes they will go deeper and a lot will be revealed by doing that.
Nice. I like that, Cindy. What do you really, really want?
It's so easy,
easy.
Yeah, it's a very easy question. To me, it's all about it. You know, what do you want? Whether it's what area of your life are you focusing on, and you know, what are you here for? You know, that's another one. What are you here for? Why are you calling me? You know what I mean? Like getting at what's initiating it for them. And it may not be what they end up doing or working on, or, you know, something else may come out of the sessions. Like, as we said, the sessions take on a life of their own. But I think it's good to check in with people and see and ask those questions.
It is good. It is good to ask those questions and others, and be careful though. We don't want to ask too many questions, you know, or try to keep things at a process level and not so much a content level. We don't have time to really develop that in 4 minutes, but yeah, you can get into the, I remember as a training counselor, psychotherapist, whatever, you know, that man, it'd be just quite, what about this? And what have it? And just question. And it's such a habit, you know, that we can get into and try to engage more of a dialogue and get them to talk about what's going on and
kind of opening up
and curve that up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, another question I really like, I mean, there's so many great questions that get clients thinking, and you know, we're talking on the show today about what's it going to be like for a coaching client. If they're not really familiar with coaching, we're trying to just dial it in a casual conversation of what a client might expect. But, you know, one of the things I like is when people tend to stall out or get into fears and blocks, and it's just a simple question like, imagine your life, you know, 3 years from now, or imagine you're 85, you're sitting on the rocking chair, you're rocking back and forth, looking out the window. What if you didn't accomplish this? What if you didn't work through this? How would you feel? What would that feel like then? I love that one, because that really makes people think about, maybe I better redirect my effort here. You know, it gets into that not accomplishing it, that not changing it. You know what I mean?
Right. And then if you don't, you know, what's
that going to feel like later? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It may not feel so good, right? And it so may maybe not. they're gonna put a little bit more zeal into
it. Get your butt off the couch, get on this goal here.
They turn the TV off and you know, get some pen and paper out, right? And start working on what you really want out of life. And that's what we want as coaches, is, you know, we're really, really it is a trade, an art, a skill, whatever you want to call it, a profession, but it is heartfelt work. You know, we really do want to show up to help people. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand that that's really what the coaches are there for, to serve and to help.
Absolutely. That's what we are. We're there to serve and to help, and do it, you know, with methodology and with purpose. And at the same time, you know, building and maintaining a very meaningful relationship. And I think that I'm really starting to enjoy those post-coaching engagement relationships where, you know, you're not necessarily the person's friend, you're not necessarily their coach anymore, but it's really interesting. You're or this person in their life. I guess you could say friend. I don't even want to know the noun for it. But anyway, starting to enjoy that.
Yeah, it's good
zone as well.
It's lovely.
Lovely. Well, there it is. 1 minute left. So that was another one down, Cindy. Good job. It's a good show. And
thanks, Bruce.
Hopefully our listeners got something out of it. And folks, don't forget to see us on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show. And we have our own Facebook page. And also we're on iTunes. So if you type in LA Talk Radio or Concierge Coaches Show, it'll be on iTunes. The shows are also archived on the LA Talk Radio site, and we'll be getting last month's show up here, really shows up here loaded into iTunes very soon. And I can be reached at Twitter at Cameron Coaches and my website, ConcierceCoach.net. Cindy, where can you be located?
WisdomFoods.com and directly at 714-943-6206. I hope everybody has a fabulous day. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you. We'll see you by next week.
Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.